Have you ever stopped to consider all the different aspects of the world and how their existence demands order? You think about learning. When you go to school, you start out with the very basics, don't you? You start out with 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, and then you march on to the multiplication, and then division, because division's a little bit harder than multiplication. And then by the end, many of you have ended up taking calculus and trigonometry. You know, some of the others are just glad to get through algebra, you know, but it's going from the foundational principles of learning, no matter what subject it is, all the way up to the more specific and complex. What about cooking? Ladies, you get a recipe. Why do you get a recipe? And some men, I'm sure, I don't want to insult you men that cook. You know, you say your recipe, you get the recipe and it gives you an order. You got to put certain things in the pot, and then you got to mix it, and then you cook it, and then you sprinkle the cheese on top. I like cheese, just so you know. So there's an order for it. If you want the dish to turn out well, you follow the instructions and you do things in order. What about building and construction? I was in that field for 8 years. And in that field, you start from the bottom and you work your way up, don't you? I mean, it just would be insane to see a building if you started with the roof and were down. It would just be incredibly odd. And as you build and you start from the bottom and work up, you start with the bottom and you make sure that that foundation is going to be strong and able to carry the weight of the structure. What about farming? There's some farmers in here. You want to have a good crop, you got to do things in order. What do you have to do? You have to cultivate the land, and then you put seeds in the ground. You put the seed in the ground if you want to even hope to have an abundant harvest. You've got to do it in the right way. Well, why is it that we hold to all these practices? I mean, all of the people in the world understand, for the most part, the importance of order. The importance of starting with the foundational things, the basics, and then you work from there. It's because these foundations are basic for life. They are needed to establish good things in life. People don't argue these practices because they know this is the way things are meant to happen. There's just no other option. You don't teach a kindergartner calculus until they have learned to add 1 plus 1. Greater than even these foundations that I mentioned, learning, cooking, building, farming, we have some foundations given to us by God, our Creator and our Designer. They're fundamental to society, yet they are rebelled against and despised because they are presented as absolutes from God and from the Bible. We're going to embark on a study of some of the foundations of life that are given to us according to the Book of Beginnings. Book of Beginnings is what? The Book of Genesis. Good job, class. We're going to embark on looking at the foundations of life. Now, the book of Genesis introduces for us some very fundamental principles, truths, institutions that are basic for life. Genesis introduces them, and then the rest of the scripture builds on that and helps us to have a better understanding of those foundational truths. What's fascinating is that the book of Genesis is the first book of the Bible, And yet so often it is ignored. But we must look at this foundational book to understand the basic principles for our life today. Sometimes we neglect this. And God wants to remind us of these important things. Now I'm going to be talking a lot about foundations of life. What are the foundations of life? What is the definition that I'm using for that? The foundations of life are basic institutions and truths that have their source as God alone and are fundamental to a healthy and controlled world. As Christians, we look, or as believers, we look to the Bible to give us these foundations of life. We look for things that God has put into place for the betterment of this world and to enable His creation to sing His praises. All things have been created for God's pleasure, Revelation 4:11. And so all of these things are for God's pleasure. And God has designed them to operate in certain ways to sing His praises and to exalt Him. Now, non-believers are going to look elsewhere for foundations of life. They're going to look outside of the Scriptures because they do not embrace God. They do not embrace the Bible as God's Word or as truth. So they look for other places to define their existence. They look in science. Science is good. And it is a good thing, but it is not adequate to build our lives upon foundationally and morally. And we're going to see that. They look into themselves to define their existence. They look throughout history, they've looked to false deities. But what's interesting, dear ones, is all of these false deities have been created by man anyway. Foundations of life. I want to just give you a brief rundown of 10 of the foundations of life. We will not cover them today. I just want to give an introduction today of our series. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to begin reading through the book of Genesis, especially the first 11 chapters. As God takes these chapters and He uses them to build some core truths, some very basic institutions that are necessary for life. Now, these institutions, these 10 foundations of life, I believe are built consecutively upon one another, kind of like you build a building and you build a brick wall, the block wall, you build one upon another. And we're going to see that the book of Genesis, as you go through it, introduces these foundations. First of all, you see God. His existence. God, He's there. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And we'll talk more about that next week. Secondly, you see biblical creation in 6 24-hour days, and we'll talk about that and how important of a foundation that is. Thirdly, the principle and institution of rest. Fourth, man. Man in his role, his purpose. Fifthly, woman. Also made in God's image, made out of man. And we'll talk about other things that relate to the role of woman. Sixth, marriage. Yes, Genesis introduces the institution of marriage and the family. And we'll talk about that. Seventh, standards. Standards. God introduces the fact that there are standards for what is right and wrong. He establishes boundaries. We'll see Him giving standards. We'll see those standards broken. And we'll see the consequences of those standards and salvation. Eighth, worship and sacrifice. The importance of the blood of a sacrifice. Ninth, justice and grace. We'll come upon the great flood and look at why God brought the flood and how God shows us his gracious nature through the flood. And tenth, nations. The Tower of Babel and how God establishes nations. I trust that this will just whet your appetite to begin reading the book of Genesis, as these core foundations of life are found here. And then they are further explained throughout the rest of the Bible. Now, as we embark on such a study, there is an overriding principle that we've got to make clear. Because if you understand, we're getting all of these foundations of life from the Bible. This, we are embracing what the Bible has to say as God's Word, as absolute truth. If we are going to look at these foundations of life and live by them, we must trust God's Holy Word. So today I just want to build upon that, the importance of God's Word, the basis of all of these foundations of life. The basis is God's Word. By way of principle, I would like just to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'd like us to just make an observation of a principle that I believe is very important for us to understand. Jeremiah chapter 6 happens to be where I'm reading in my devotions at this time, and I know some of you are reading through the same devotional as I, and so this passage will be familiar to you. But Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah is giving a message. He's a prophet of God. He's declaring God's truth. So he's taking God's message and he's proclaiming it to the people. That's a prophet. And so as a prophet of God to Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel, he is declaring to them God's judgment. Because at this time, Judah is not living for God. And this is just prior to Babylon and them coming and destroying Judah and Jerusalem. All right, so in the midst of this message, Jeremiah says something that's very interesting. And I want to draw our attention to this. Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's begin looking at verse 12. And again, remember, this is pronouncement of judgment that Jeremiah is speaking here. Jeremiah 6:12, "And their houses shall be turned into others, their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace." Verse 15. "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." A very sad commentary here on the people of Israel and Judah. Because what you see here is God extending his merciful hand out to these people, and they refuse to adhere to his instructions. They refuse to obey Him. Now, the illustration that I want us to see is this idea of they're walking, verse 16, and God says, stand in the way, stand on the path, and see and ask for the old paths, or the ancient ways. Now, the picture that's being drawn here that the Lord's giving to His people, it says you're walking on a path and you're coming to a fork in the road. How do you know which is the right way to go? And God gives them the answer. Ask for the ancient ways. Ask for the ways of old. Ask for the ways that have stood the time of history. And the people, they say, no, we will not walk. I mean, God says there in verse 16, stand you in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. I mean, God gives it, lays it out for them. You'll find rest. But they say no. He uses a little different illustration. He says, I set watchmen over you. In other words, people guarding over you. And they're sounding the trumpet. Listen to it. But they say, no. And dear ones, why do we look at this illustration? We look at this illustration because God, this is the role that God's Word is to play in our lives. You and I come to forks in the road every single day where we have to make decisions of what we're going to do. And how are you going to govern your direction? How are you going to know which way God wants you to go? It's by paying attention to the ancient ways. By paying attention to God's Word that has stood the test of time. That is relevant for all cultures. It's by paying attention and listening to it. Because you will see throughout the Scriptures the principles of you go my way and I bless. You go away from me and I curse. These are the principles of the Word of God. God desires us to listen to those that have gone on before us. God's Word allows us to hear and learn from them. You ever have a time in your life when you're just really looking for wisdom? And you're just looking for help to make a decision? Who do you go to? You go to people that have experienced that kind of situation in their lives. People that you look at with respect because they have gone on before. Now this brings to our minds another important passage, doesn't it? Hebrews. Hebrews chapter what? Chapter, come on class, 11. How about it? Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, we cannot miss the importance of the Word of God and how crucial it is for guiding us in life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then we have a list of people who were faithful to the Lord that are presented to us as examples. Dear ones, how are we to learn? We learn from the examples of those that have gone on before us. How can we learn from their lives? The Word of God has laid it out for us. The Word of God has given us this example, these directions for us. We need to submit our lives to it. We need to listen and obey it. We need to learn from those that have gone on before, and the mistakes they have made, let's not make them ourselves. the wise choices that they have made. Let's follow their way. You see here, verse 2, Hebrews 11, 2, it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Hebrews says that because we have an opportunity to look back at the elders and fathers of our faith. And we can look back and see all that God has done. We can see how God has worked in the lives of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Daniel, all of the mighty people of the Scriptures. We also can learn from those that made poor choices. From those people that we look at and say they're evil and they're bad. Well, why are they bad? It's because they made this kind of choice and that kind of choice. Well, it should be pretty clear to us then, shouldn't it? We shouldn't go that way. What a gracious God we have to give us the Word of God that lays all of this out for us so that He gives us the foundations of life in it. And then He helps us to know how we can live according to those foundations and live a life that is healthy and live in a world that is controlled because God has set it up that way. God desires us to listen to those that have gone on before, and that is possible because He's recorded these truths in His Word. Now, God also has established the Scriptures to be foundational for a godly life. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. Last year, we spent several months looking through this letter from the Apostle Paul to the young man, Timothy, a preacher. And I want to draw your attention to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and follow along as I read verses 12 and following. Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now let me ask you a question. Do you want to be that kind of man or woman of God who is completed and thoroughly furnished unto all good works? God tells us here that the basis of all of that is His Holy Scriptures. Why is that? It's because they teach us the foundations of life and the truths from God. I read that entire text because I wanted you to see that all those that are going to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. What does that mean? Well, that means that if we adhere to God's Word and what God says, it's going to clash with the thoughts and attitudes and truths that come from the world. And the world is going to rebel against that, and those that adhere to God's truth are going to suffer. So that means that there is a very great difference between what the Word of God has to say and the way the world interprets its existence. And so, verse 13 makes sense then, because there's going to be evil men, there's going to be seducers that are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It makes sense because there are going to be people that are going to try to draw Christians, draw believers, and deceive, draw them away into the ways and thinkings of the world. Yet the difference still remains. And then Timothy receives instruction from Paul, and Paul says, continue thou in the things which you have learned and has been assured of. Well, if you know anything about Timothy's life, you know that his mom and his grandmother taught him in the Holy Scriptures. And you know that Paul spent time with this man in training him in the truths of God. In verse 15, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God's giving the recipe here. He's laying it out and saying the foundational truths come from the Word of God. Embrace it, dear one. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what? It's profitable. Don't you want to have profitable truths presented to you? Don't you want your life to be profitable for God's kingdom and glory? Absolutely. Well, how do we do that? The Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine. That's for teaching. It's going to teach you. It's for reproof. That's rebuking you. Oh, I'm so glad for the Word of God and how it rebukes my life when I'm wrong. It shows me where areas of pride or areas of fearing man, and it rebukes me. But then it also corrects me. It shows me where I'm wrong and then shows me how to get right. And then it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. How to stay right. How to stay right. Dear ones, this is the Word of God. Now the Lord Jesus, being God in human flesh, completely God, completely man, He came to this earth, He lived a perfect and sinless life, He ministered for approximately 3 years, and I want us to take note of something He said back in Matthew chapter 7. Back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. 7:24. It reads this way. Again, Jesus is speaking here. It's a part, He's ending the Sermon on the Mount. And He says this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. Now, I believe we're familiar with this account. I'm not going to read it all, but what Jesus says here, you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, you are like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. Well, what's the illustration that Jesus is bringing to the table? It's a building illustration. He's taking a contractor and he's saying, this contractor is wise because he listened to what I've said and he does it. And he is a wise man. And his house ends up being built on a firm, solid foundation. Jesus then says, if you hear these sayings of mine and do not do them, you're likened unto a contractor that instead of following the design, the plan of God, he does it his own way, and the result is a house that's built on sand. On that stuff that you build sandcastles out of at the ocean, and in the water, first little wave comes, it's washed away. What's Jesus saying? What I say, what God says, is of absolute importance. It's necessary for the establishment of a firm foundation in your life. Pay attention to it. Listen to it. But don't stop there. Obey it. Do it. The illustration talks about storms. Absolutely, storms are coming or have already been or are in your life. Storms that attack the very foundations of what you believe about God and about this world, about morality. You need to get back to the basics and foundations of life and plant your feet firmly there so that you may navigate the storms of life with firm footing. Jesus prayed in John 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He's speaking to his Father again, emphasizing God's word as truth. So, we need to listen to those that have gone on before us. Well, that is possible because God's given us his word. We need to understand that God's established the scriptures as foundational for a godly life. We've seen that in the example of Timothy and from the words of the Lord Jesus. We also see that the Bible proposes itself to be exactly what people need for living. There's a couple passages in Psalm. Let me just read them and you listen. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, it says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Dear ones, if you and I haven't understood ourselves to be simple, we need to start understanding it. We are simple. Our understanding in comparison to God is very small. But God, through His infinite grace, has given us His Word. Has given us His truth. So that we might know wisdom. But it is only found in God. Psalm 119, verse 99, it says this, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Did you catch that? The psalmist is saying, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why is that? It's because God, your word, your testimonies are my meditation. Psalm 119, verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Do you ever look back and say, how in the world did I get in this mess? You know what, dear ones? The Word of God is like a light and it illumines our path and it shows us where the pitfalls of life are. You and I just need to pay attention to it. So instead of looking back and saying, man, I wish I wasn't here, you could say, boy, am I glad God stopped me and directed me away from that sin or temptation or pitfall. Psalm 119, 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Notice that these are coming from Psalm 119. That's 176 verses long. And all but maybe four of them talk about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" You heard it with the kids, right? "By taking heed thereto according to" what? "Thy word." So, are you willing to embrace God's word as true? Have you? Is it your manual for life? Do you go to it for the very foundations, the very core of who you are and the way you operate? Are there portions of the Bible that you mistrust? Are there portions of the Bible that you don't believe? May I propose to you that you make a choice today to believe God's Word? I'll agree with you. There's a lot of things in the Word of God that just don't make human sense. the kind of things that if we would practice, people in this world are going to look at us and scratch their heads and say, "You're crazy." But listen, we've been called upon to live a life of faith and believe in God by faith. And that's going to look different than the world's ideas. We live a life based on faith. We've not been given a certified letter from God saying, "This is what you should do." No, we don't have that. We have the Word of God, and it proclaims itself to be God's truth, and so we believe it by faith. The Bible has been preserved for us. People have died for what it teaches. The copies that we have, man, they are all so similar. There is no doctrinal differences between them. God has preserved it for us so that we might know Him and know His truth. Make no mistake, dear ones, you and I know true life because of the message contained in this book. You know abundant life because of the truths contained here. It's a living word of God. Romans chapter 10 says this, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The word of God's important for us. And God wants to emphasize that truth in your life today, believer. God wants you to firmly plant your faith, your feet, upon His Word. So that as we embark on a study of the very foundations of life according to the Scriptures, you are encouraged and strengthened as you live in this dark world. Every aspect of God's Word is important. As God divulges Himself, He shows us Himself. He shows us His purposes, and He shows us His plans. Choose today to trust God's Word to be true. Believe it. Live by faith. Look at the elders of old in Hebrews chapter 11 as they embraced God and His truth. And live that kind of life. God's given us foundations for life, and His Word contains them. And may we find great strength as we embrace them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for our time together. Thank You for the strength of Your Word and its power and its authority. And God, we are a church. We are all just normal people. But yet we are crying out to God for Your understanding and for Your truth, for Your grace to be evident, that we, Lord, might understand these foundational truths of Your Word, and then they might govern our lives so that we might please You. God, strengthen Your people. May they walk with courage in this dark world. Care for them. Meet their needs and bless them as they obey You. And I pray this in Your name. Amen.